Thank you. As we get ready for Stu, it's 12 minutes now, 12 minutes after 11 o'clock, and I want to be sure we're both able to hear each other. That helps a little bit. And Stu, you're able to hear me, I hope. Can we all hear each other? You're there. He's there. I think you're really going to enjoy this guy. He spends time, traveling the country. Has lived in Buffalo for 20 years or so, and is soon going to be heading off to New Hampshire. One of the things I loved in learning about him is his delight in sort of randomly popping up and playing and delighting people as he moves through the world. And I think the same thing is going to happen right now. Here is Stu Fuchs.
Thank you.
Is Stu Fuchs. I know that song, and I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, that's a hula called Keep Your Eyes on the Hands. That'd be nice to start with a little bit of Hawaii.
Excellent to start that way. And when did you start playing the ukulele? A trite question, but, it's one that bears asking.
Sure. First, I want to say it's really great to be here. Thank you for having me here on the Saturday Light Brigade.
It's a pleasure. I'm
really excited to be back in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, when were you last here?
I was here in the fall of 1993. I attended a concert I was a college student, and we made a trek from Fredonia, New York, to see my favorite Japanese noise band. They were called Boredoms, and they were playing in a classroom at UPitt.
Wow.
Yeah, they're playing in a lecture hall.
Do they sing Hail Fredonia at Fredonia?
They just in jest, we
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I always wondered whether they did that or not.
The Marx Brothers, yeah.
What I love about you is you've really clearly, the spirituality that you've added to the music, and I guess your own centeredness in using music as a means of conveying emotion or just helping people feel at peace, I guess is the best way to put it. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, all musicians, all people use emotions and have emotions in everything they do. But it's really something in your music and in your life that you've managed to make very cohesive. And did you come to that realization pretty early?
Well, thank you. I did. I feel that it's central to my life is sharing music and positive vibrations with people. I want to be a forklift and try to lift those around me. As I have been lifted, I just feel that I'm giving it back. When I was a young boy, my father played classical guitar, and I used to take his guitar into the woods just for fun. I didn't really know how to officially play, but I would listen to birds and the sounds of nature, and I would just try to imitate it on the guitar. So I would hear a bird and I would sit there for hours and do that. And, as I travel and perform and teach, one of my missions is to open people up to their innate musicality. More and more, so many people want to learn how to play music. The ukulele is a wonderful, accessible entry point to one's own musical life. And I really want to show people just how simple it is, how easy and streamlined the process of learning can be, and that it's really more than learning how to do something quote-unquote well or not. That's really not even the point. It's just about cultivating a musical practice. There's so many benefits, so many health benefits to playing music in your life.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, a practice. Much like yoga or other things you do because you do them, not for any other reason. It's just part, a way of life. I'd love to hear you play some more, and I know folks listening would love to hear you play some more too. We'll, in a moment, talk about how you can be part of a workshop taking place later today, mm-hmm. and also about a concert tonight. So if you want to jot down information, we'll have that for you in a moment or two. But both of those occurring today, May 17th, at the Wilkins School Community Center. What would you like to do next?
Well, I'd like to play some more ukulele, but I'd love to share a story first, just a brief story of how, like you said, popping up randomly and just making people happy with music is something I've been blessed to do for the last 6 years as an artist in residence at a cancer hospital in Buffalo, New York. I've been in residence at Roswell Park Cancer Institute through the University at Buffalo, their arts and healthcare program. And I'll talk more about that later, but when I was a student at the University at Buffalo studying classical guitar many years ago, we would, we being my friends and I, my classmates and I, we would, rather than study our theory and dictation exercises, we would go into the administrative offices and do something we called gorilla jaw harp. I don't mean gorilla like, gorillas in the mist. I mean, gorilla warfare. And we would do something called gorilla jaw harp, where we always had a couple of these jaw harps on us, and we would sneak into the office and kind of duck underneath the counter, and the office would be, usually by about 3 or 4 or 5 in the afternoon, obviously, energy a little bit heavy, some frustration from the day, a lot of things to get done. And we would just make people crack up by just running in and doing this and spraying the place with jaw harp. And sometimes even talk through it like, and we found that not only to be a lot of fun, but, the greatest part was just to see the whole office just crack up and suddenly lighten up and clap along, and we'd start singing. So, that's what I love to do, and we're going to do some of that in our workshop today. Now, the workshop, the ukulele workshop, is not on gorilla jaw harp. It's going to be on rockabilly styles for the ukulele, but that energy of making the world lighter is going to definitely be there. So back to the ukulele, right? Is it sound okay? Is it a little too loud? Good.
Sounds okay. Okay, cool. Is it are your headphones a little loud?
Yeah, we can
bring,
maybe.
Yeah, let's bring those down a little bit. Oh. It's we're flying on our own little place today. Hang on 1 minute so I can take a look at okay. And Ricky's given me a note here to check on something.
So the music I wanted to play next is from my CD, Stukulele. And
when I was recording it, I wanted to make a connection, build a bridge between the ukulele and the music of Brazil. And I have been in love with the mandolin music of Jacobo do Bandolim for many, many years. And I finally got around to transcribing, you know, five or six of his pieces. I recorded four of them for the CD. And this is one of them. This is a really beautiful, peaceful shoto. It's about 5 minutes long, so, you know, enjoy. I hope that this brings some relaxation to your Saturday morning. This is a shoto called Vibrações, which translated is Vibrations. Thank you.
That is Stu Fuchs, and I think I heard some familiar songs there. Did I? Is there a medley of a few? Or maybe some bars borrowed from a few?
Well, it's all one piece by Jacob de Bandolim, but it's a bit like it reminds me of Chopin or Bach hanging out on the beach.
Yeah, it's interesting just how many things you can hear. Ukulele is a good instrument to lose yourself in, I think.
Yeah, because it's super versatile. I mean, it's an instrument that you can play folk, rock, classical. You know, you can play so many different types of music on the ukulele, jazz. It's really great, diverse.
And I think as a listener, too, it's complex enough or interesting enough that it entertains you, but it's simple enough that you could kind of add your own thoughts to it as you're listening to. There's something just very, very relaxing as you listen. Stu's workshop today is at 3, I believe, at Wilkins School Community mm-hmm. Center, and you're going to be talking about rockabilly, ukulele, and is it uke or uke? I've heard different people say different things.
The Hawaiian pronunciation is ukulele.
Ukulele.
Ukulele. Here in the mainland, we say ukulele.
Yeah.
I've never heard it referred to as a uke for short. I've always heard that for short, it's uke. But we're here with Steel City Ukuleles or Steel City Ukuleles. And if you wanna join us, it's gonna be 3 o'clock, a 2-hour workshop, rockabilly styles. We're gonna be learning how to play rock and roll. I'm gonna teach a lot of different techniques and strums. Really fun songs from, you know, artists like Carl Perkins and the Beatles, and lots of great stuff. Johnny Burnett. We're gonna play a Latin song by him.
I suspect there'll be a loner ukulele or two if you don't have one.
There is, and this evening's concert is going to have, which I'm really excited about offering a concert, is going to have a Kala ukulele giveaway. Well, it's going to be a raffle, not a giveaway. Well, I guess you give away if you win the raffle.
Yes.
But I'm an endorsing artist with Kala ukuleles. You can see their name on the headstock of my uke. Got to give a shout out to the great people at Kala. And also to Marcy Markser and Kathy Fink. This is the Marcy Markser signature ukulele. It's a great uke. Kala really makes fantastic instruments.
Where are they located? Where are they made?
Petaluma, California is their headquarters. I'm going to be there in about 2 weeks giving the same workshop and a concert.
Oh, that's great. So tonight the concert's at 7, Wilkins School Community Center. And you can learn more about Steel City Ukes, too. We link to their Facebook page from slbradio.org in the event you want to find out more about them and get involved. They're a pretty informal, happy bunch of people that play ukuleles. And they smile all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, smiling is a big part of musical practice for me. We learned the first mantra straight away, which is borrowed from my teacher David Darling. Music for people, you know, to approach music from that lighthearted place is crucial, and definitely leads to a lot of success when you're playing from the first mantra. Ukulele players claim to be happier. I think that's true. I mean, since I started to play the uke, my life is. Yes, it has gotten a lot smilier. I love performing on the ukulele. I consider the ukulele to be, there's a lot of uncharted territory on the instrument. There's been a third wave of revival over the last 10, 15 years. And so I'm doing what I can to try to push the boundaries by playing some things on it that are not normally played on the uke. And I also like to play things that are traditionally played on the uke.
Well, it's good to have you here. And a few emails coming in, folks mentioning how much they're enjoying hearing you play today. Aww. And Wilkins School Community Center is right in Regent Square. We've also linked to their website if you need directions. And seats are available both for the workshop as well as for tonight's concert. You won't have any trouble there. It's a good bunch of folks and a good thing to enjoy.
It's gonna be a good time.
The uke's getting popular again, too. Or not again. It's always been popular, but you know, a lot of folks are picking up a uke just to kind of noodle around.
Absolutely.
And explore again. They're relatively inexpensive to start. You know, you can get a quality instrument at a reasonable price. And they're kind of portable, which is making them really, you know, popular mm-hmm. with folks too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, traveling, even before I was, you know, touring as a ukulele artist, I would bring one with me. And in the airport, so nice just to be able to walk through with a lightweight case. And then, of course, it's so easy to take it out at the gate and change the scene at the gate. You know, so you can just instantly transform the place with a little bit of music.
What would you like to do next?
Well, I'm going to just tune up for one second. Then
sure.
I was thinking it would be nice to play something that has a bit of rockabilly flavor in it. Maybe give some folks a taste of what I mean when I say ukubilly. While I'm tuning up, I'll just say that this song is a medley of two tunes. Now, I do my own thing with them. I recorded them on my CD. It's a tune called Crazy High G String. The ukulele has a high G string. That's one of the interesting things about it, is that when it's tuned from the low string to the high string, it has that high G string, makes the sound brighter. And there's a lot of interesting things you can do with that tuning. So this ukulele player named Iwao Yamaguchi, he's Japanese, and he wrote this really, really hot number called Crazy High G String. So I do my own thing with it, but it's based on his tune. And then I'm going to medley into a song by a dear friend of mine, and he was just here not long ago, Lil Rev, based in Milwaukee. He came through. He's a ukulele player, amazing harmonica player and guitarist and songwriter and teacher. And he's just an all-around awesome guy, and he wrote this tune called Me or Uke Blues. So this will be a combination of those two. So here it is. She'd never leave me, no matter what I do, but it's me or you. Yeah, I thought I heard her say, well, if you don't quit that strumming, you're gonna be lonely someday.
tavern, think about what she said. I love this ukulele, but she's so good in It's Me or You. I thought I heard her say, well, if you don't quit that strumming, you're gonna be lonely someday. Strum a while now. The uke's all cute. Now I'm working overtime, strumming in my birthday suit. It's me or you. I thought I heard her say, yeah. Well, if you don't quit that strumming, you're gonna be lonely someday.
Great performer. Did you like performing or from the beginning? Tell me more. I guess I'm curious. When did you first play out? Do you have a memory of that? You mentioned playing in the woods.
You know, performing is an interesting thing. It's a balance between being yourself and being empty, so something else can fill you.
Mm-hmm.
How I feel. I had a powerful experience when I was 19 years old that changed everything for me. Terms of setting me on this course towards that path of emptying myself so something else could play the music for me. And I'll try to tell it as briefly as I can. I was 19 and a student at SUNY Cortland, in the center of New York State, and I was a electric guitar player then. And I saw a poster for a concert/workshop with Dave Brubeck. And I had heard the name, Dave Brubeck. You know, this was 1990, 91, and I was more into grunge and experimental jazz. But I had heard the name, Dave Brubeck, so I saw a workshop. I thought, it was actually a lecture series. I thought, cool, I'll bring my Stratocaster up there. So I walked in with my Strat and my amp and sat down in the front row while they're all setting up. And all the guys in the group just cracked up. They saw this kid come in with, you know, spiky black hair. My hair is not black now, but...
Nor spiky.
No, I guess it depends on the humidity. But, you know, I sat down, and they all were kidding. They all were kidding Dave. They said, get a load of that guy. He's got more nerve than you did. And I didn't really think it was an imposition. I just showed up. I thought, oh, cool, maybe it's a jam.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Brubeck said... hey, well, you brought your guitar. You want to play? I said, sure. Thank you. And so I sat in and played, and it was they played three or four songs over the course of an hour lecture. And the very first thing they did was a very, very slow blues in C. And I say very, very because it almost wasn't a pulse. It was so slow and subtle. and they gave me the first solo, and I think it was, in hindsight, maybe it was just they were just kind of scoping me out, see if they wanted me to sit there with them for the whole hour. And they gave me the first solo, and I don't remember what I played, but I remember that I was very, very present and paying attention to every detail of what I did, to the point where at the end of my first chorus, Dave Brubeck went, yeah, and something about
wow.
that. Yeah, man. You know, just very encouraging. And so he said, go on, one more. And so I played another one, and I'm certainly not suggesting that I played the, you know, the greatest blues solo of all time, but I was really inside the sound and really in the moment. And something happened in that moment where I was looking at my hands and something else was moving them for me. Something that wasn't me was doing the playing. And it was so powerful that to this day, every day I want to get back to that place. And I try to cultivate that place through yoga and meditation and using music as a meditation as itself. And to get to that place where I'm empty and music is playing itself. And I was really grateful for that experience and grateful to Mr. Brubeck for being a forklift. I felt like they were all up in this treehouse and they just invited me into their club.
That's an amazing thing to think about, actually. And I mean, Brubeck, what an incredible man. I mean, just everything he's done. And I remember when he passed away, just reviewing his whole life and what a remarkable life. The idea of being getting to the point where things are happening and you're putting things out and you practically, not effortless, but, well, effortless in terms of thought about effort. It's just happening, right? You're just suddenly just a conduit for whatever is coming out. That's a great state, and not many people get a chance to feel that at all, let alone a few times. So
it can seem like that with music, for sure, because there's so much training involved in, you know, physically, technically manipulating the strings or the wind that you're playing. On a daily basis, we are accessing language, you know, as we speak. I have no idea what I'm going to say right now, but my technique of the English language will hopefully allow some message to come through. And playing music is a lot like that, where we cultivate the language and the vocabulary and then just let something speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a really, really helpful tool to have, that mindset when performing sometimes. You know, just take my hands off the steering wheel after a 7-hour drive, and I have about 15 minutes to get ready. That's not something I try to do often, but I have been in situations where I just have to say, you know, it's out of my hands.
Yep.
You know, Creator, please move. Allow the music to come through me in a way that's meaningful and good and balanced, and it does. It invariably does if I can just let go.
Yeah, it's a good way to go through life, I think.
This is the sort of thing that I attempt to convey in the workshops. Yes, we're learning skills, and there are things that we're practicing on a practical level, but we're also cultivating this state of not trying so hard. And the first mantra, again, from Music for People, the first mantra really helps us to not take it so seriously.
Well, yeah, I think in this day and age, too, and I want to be sure we give you a chance to play some more, too. I think we have reached just an absolutely incredible state of trying very hard. I think the binary world we live in, which sort of stresses black or white rather than all the shades of gray, you know, you're either doing it right or you're doing it wrong. And form is everything. And a lot of people feel that way and suddenly have rigid standards by which to measure themselves, when in reality, there's probably no wrong way to play a ukulele, right? You can play. There's many, many different ways.
Absolutely not. Yeah, and, there's no wrong notes.
Yeah, and there are so... I don't know that I have any more wisdom than anybody else, but it seems that the era we're living in encourages cataloging and delineation and measuring and exactness in a way that can sometimes discourage people a little bit.
That's definitely, you're right about that. It can be a discouraging factor when we hold the standard up. You know, what my teacher, David Darling, who's the co-founder of a wonderful organization called Music for People.
He's not related to Eric Darling, is he?
I don't know if he has.
Do you know Eric's a great banjo player and was part of the Weavers for a while when Pete Seeger took a break. Eric came in, E-R-I-K, and it had to be like his dad or maybe even grandpa. I mean, but not that common a name, and it sounds like the kind of organization that Eric would be involved in.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know if he's related to Eric Darling, but David Darling said something very wise to me once. He said, you know, if you ever feel like you're playing below your standards, lower your standards. And that's blasphemy circles, yeah. You know. It's like, wait, how dare you suggest that I not do my best? But, you know, what really, why are we here? Are we to make more anxiety or to bring something better into the world? And I've found that audiences and rooms of people who want to learn respond more to an offering that comes from a place of acceptance more than standards. So that's a lower my standards on a daily basis. At the same time that I am striving to do really cool things like playing Bach on the ukulele and things that are a bit more challenging, but to try to hold it in a space where I'm not taking it so seriously.
Stu Fuchs is the voice you're hearing, F-U-C-H-S, and we've linked to his website. He is doing a workshop right here in Pittsburgh, 3 o'clock this afternoon at Wilkins School Community Center, focused on, I think, disposition as you're playing, as well as some rockabilly licks and sharing some secrets and just some good fellowship. And then at 7 o'clock tonight at the same location, Wilkins School Community Center, he'll be performing and also giving away a ukulele similar to the one he's playing right now, made by the same company. We have about, I'd say 6 or 7 minutes of radio time left. What would you like to do next? Be nice to have Stuart following me around.
I'm the sheik of Araby. Well, your love, it belongs to me. Whoa, at night before you sleep, well, into your room I'll creep with no clothes on.
What should I do next? Well, I think it'll be fair if we just have a few minutes. I definitely want to share the sound of the didgeridoo, part of my concert will include some didgeridoo and Native American flute. The didgeridoo is a wonderful healing instrument. It's an instrument that I use in my work at Roswell Park Cancer Institute with the Arts and Healthcare Program through the University at Buffalo. The didgeridoo is considered one of the oldest instruments in the world. It's a hollow tree limb that you buzz your lips over, and the process of circular breathing, the technique of circular breathing, helps. It's even been clinically proven to cure and correct sleep apnea and snoring, because it strengthens the soft palate in the mouth. So I know our time is limited. I'll just get into playing, but the sound of the didgeridoo is one to really relax to. If you're driving, folks, please don't close your eyes. What you can do is maybe soften up the soles of your feet and your scalp as you listen, and allow the vibrations of the didgeridoo to enter.
You've probably seen a didgeridoo before, but picture a long pipe, maybe 5 feet long. Wow. You know, I've heard didgeridoo played a lot, and you played it in a rhythmic way that I'm not sure I've ever quite heard before. That almost sounded like a train moving in, and it was a lot of fun to listen to.
Thanks. Yeah, I also have a slide didgeridoo. This is one that it's like it's telescoping.
I've never seen that. Now, yeah. Did you make that?
It was made by a friend of mine in New York.
Because didgeridoos, you could probably go to a maker website. They're not, not to say that some people probably make them better than others, but you could make one, right?
To Google didgeridoo, you'll find recipes of how to make one out of a piece of PVC. I lived in a loft apartment for some years where the hand railing was a 30-foot long didgeridoo. It was just a perfect A too. It was a low A. I could tune my guitar to it, and I'd wake up in the morning and I would didgeridoo. The circular breath is definitely. I've been playing it for about 20 years, and its claims of increasing blood oxygen levels and expanding your lung capacity, I believe, are really true, because. The process of circular breathing really is beneficial in so many ways. It's great for the mind. It's great for the body. It strengthens the diaphragm. It's really, really powerful. So, yeah, it's an ancient technology that the Aborigines of Australia came upon in their culture, happened upon this tree branch and started to use it for their ceremonies.
Yeah. Stuart Fuchs, it's been so great to have you with us. I would love to have you back anytime you're here passing through.
Thank you.
How do you want to finish up?
Well, maybe I'll finish up with, I guess it would be fun to finish up with a little bit of Beatles.
Sure.
Some Beatles on the ukulele. George Harrison was a huge fan of the ukulele, always had several of them in the trunk of his car. Some stories about that you can find on the line.
Somehow I'm not surprised he would be the one. George Harrison was a really good guy.
He wrote this song on ukulele. So it goes like this.
Cosmo, do you know is there a Cosmo in your life?
A Cosmo?
Yeah, Cosmo. Cosmo Sagistano? Sagistino?
Oh, Cosmo! Hey, Cosmos! Yeah, big love out to Florida.
Yeah, he just...
Tampa Bay Ukulele Society.
He just wrote to say he's listening and how much he enjoyed you.
Oh, thanks, Cosmo. Hope you're having a great day down there.
And thanks for being with us. Today, 3 o'clock workshop. I think you'd enjoy looking at Stu's website. I did as I was learning to know you more. And I hope the concert goes well tonight.
Thank
7
you.
O'clock, both at Wilkins School Community Center.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back in Pittsburgh. I'm driving here this morning to the studio, I feel like I am in San Francisco of the East.
Well,
beautiful hills.
Let's make it sooner than 21 years next time.
Thank you. So I'd love to.
Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Public Radio.